This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Crydell. It's a beautiful afternoon at 58 degrees right now at O'Hare, 57 at the lakefront with partly sunny skies.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of the markets. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, investors have been tracking congressional testimony by the new Fed chair, Jerome Powell, with mixed reactions. Excuse me. We've been on both sides of the flat line today. Right now, the Dow is down 33 points, NASDAQ off 36, S&P lower by 10. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is giving back about 0.4%. Consumer confidence is looking up. Despite a month that saw the Dow's first 1,000-point plunge in its history, the Conference Board says confidence is at a 17-year high. And demand for business equipment has been red hot, but it cooled in January. The Commerce Department reports U.S. orders for big-ticket durable goods designed to last 3 years or longer fell 3.7% in January. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're, of course, talking about the markets and the economy. And a beloved Chicago building is going to undergo a facelift of sorts. It's in the loop. We'll tell you about that.
It is Travel Tuesday. We'll tell you about some spring break travel deals from the airlines. And also, a big automaker and a big pizza delivery company are working together on autonomous delivery vehicles. All of that and loads more coming up on today's Noon Business Hour.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Macy's releases its earnings report and announces a real estate sale, while an anchor store in a suburban mall is set to close. We'll have details on our next segment. Right now, a new Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, addresses Congress while the report on home prices leads today's data. We're joined by David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, author of the book Understanding Central Banking in Denver. David, of course, investors want to know what kind of hints Jerome Powell might have expressed about interest rates and how many times are they going to be upped this year?
Well, the big news was along exactly those lines, the comment by the new Fed chair that since the December Fed policy meeting, Powell feels that the economy is stronger, labor market conditions are stronger, global growth is stronger. What that says to me is that, and it's more likely that inflation will move up fast enough to at least hit the Fed's 2% target. It seems to me that comment was what really moved the markets, and it suggests strongly that the Fed is going to hike rates as soon as March of this year.
And is that something that you think is a good idea?
Well, I think it says that with everything operating in the direction of more strength, it probably is a good idea to at least keep trying to normalize rates. We've been so far below what we think should be normal, maybe 2.5%, let's say, is normal. We're right now at 1.25% to 1.5% on the federal funds rate target. It seems that it's really appropriate to move up at least toward that new normal level. So, yes, I think it's appropriate to raise in March. My bet would be the market's expecting, I think, 3 rate hikes this year. I think it could be 4, but that still depends on whether this economic strength continues.
So do you feel, and maybe we do need more data in the coming months, but do you feel 4 hikes may be warranted? It might be what we need?
Well, to get at least to the normal level, it will depend importantly on whether this spectacular performance of the economy with more stimulation from the tax cut on top of that, and I think it's notable that the Fed the new Fed chairman said that, in fact, he did see strength from the tax cut over the next year or two at least. All of that working in the direction of a stronger economy at a moment when we're virtually at full employment, I do think it's appropriate, again, to get back into that territory where most estimates suggest that the rates will be neutral, neither stimulating nor depressing the economy. So I'm indeed in favor. And I do sense Chairman Powell is perhaps a little bit more hawkish than his very dovish predecessor, Janet Yellen. I think Powell will be inclined to move toward higher rates when she was not.
Do you think higher rates are going to affect the housing market across the country?
Not immediately. My sense is the problem in the housing market is there aren't enough houses. We saw a very big increase in housing prices in December, but it looked to me like it was the situation of a shortage of houses being built as opposed to a question of weak demand. So not at these rate levels do I think housing will be hurt. Now, once we get the percentage point or more higher in short-term rates, which would push mortgage rates up as well, you know, there will be a limit to which we can go before it will start to hurt activity. But at the moment, I see a shortage of houses as opposed to weakness in demand.
And it would take probably, you think, a significant movement in rates in order for that demand to begin leveling off?
Yeah, it's really a tough call, but I like to judge things by that tenure, which, by the way, moved up in yield as Powell was speaking on the theory that he will be moving rates higher perhaps as soon as March. We see that 10-year at 2.91%. I think if you get up into the range of, let's say, 3.5%, that could start to damage the economy. And if you move mortgage rates up correspondingly, that could begin to hurt housing demand. But I just don't see that as an immediate threat.
Yeah, I don't know if we need this reminder or not, David. It's fairly obvious, but as we've been watching the markets here since Powell has been speaking, we've seen this yo-yo as the markets are paying attention to what he's saying. Just sort of underscores the power of every word that comes out of the Fed chairman's mouth.
It's so true. I spent my entire career trying to anticipate how many Fed chairmen have affected the markets. It just seems like you're absolutely right. There is just an incredible amount of sensitivity. And once again, when Powell talked about a strong economy, we saw the 10-year yield go up. We saw stock market go down instantly. There wasn't even a delay.
Yeah, you're the rate whisperer.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us today, David. David Jones is chairman of DMJ Advisors, author of the book Understanding Central Banking, and he does. Coming up, a major retailer shuttering a suburban store while Macy's continues its turnaround plan.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Local developments today involving Macy's and Lord & Taylor. Let's talk retail with Jan Rogers Niffin, CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide. Jan, welcome back to the show. Let's begin with Macy's. Tell us the nuts and bolts of their plan to sell off half of their building here in Chicago, and is this a good idea?
Well, first, I should say they released earnings today, and they were fabulous. So they're clearly not selling off the building because they need to. They're selling it off because they want to. And they're reducing their footprint around the country in a lot of stores because, given the transfer to the Internet, about 22% of their business now is online. They just don't need as much space. And so a lot of these buildings are worth more to someone else than they are to Macy's as retail space. And they've been cutting these deals. I think last year they sold $1.3 billion worth of real estate that they didn't really need the space in.
And
so this is just one more step in that process.
Now, is it wise, and I guess time will tell, but selling the space versus leasing it out over the long run, I guess different retailers have had hits or misses with either of those ideas.
It's just math. In some cases, you get better deals from leasing things. In some cases, you get better deals selling things. They've done both, but It's just according to what the real estate market will bear and how much the property is really worth compared to what you could lease it for. So they don't really have a strategy that's negative on leasing it out or selling it. What they're looking at is reducing their footprint and getting money back for having reduced their footprint.
We should mention to the Chicago listeners that the Walnut Room on the 7th floor of Macy's, formerly Marshall Fields, will be kept as the Walnut Room, and the space over the top of the upper floors will be used by another company. Why is it that Macy's is doing so well? It's just really a tough time for retailers, like, you know, big retailers like that.
Well, there's only a few winning anymore, and I will say the fourth quarter was so strong for consumers that it basically the tide lifted all boats, at least the boats who hadn't sunk yet. Unfortunately, some of the boats are sinking, so they can't get lifted by the tide. But if you look at a company like Nordstrom's, for instance, they're still doing well. Macy's is doing well. Kohl's is doing well. So there are people winning in those spaces. That's not to say that we don't still have way too many stores, that we don't have way too much space allocated to retail. We're still going to see malls close. We're still going to see stores close. I doubt if Macy's or Kohl's will have as many stores next year as they have this year. But they're still succeeding in their space. I call them last man standing in each space. They're winning in those places. And I think that that's what we're seeing with Macy's. You know, Macy's has a new CEO that's running the company, and he's put in some new programs on loyalty, and they're testing some things in stores that they haven't really done before. They've been also leasing out space to other retailers like Sunglass Hut and Lids and Finish Line and things like that to take up some of that space they don't need. And then they've been reducing their footprint. They've closed quite a few stores, a couple of hundred, and they've also been doing this downsizing routine where they bring money back out of the store and yet continue to do business in the store.
Briefly, Jan, tell us about Lord & Taylor closing its Oak Brook location. Is this part of a wider strategy?
That surprised me because I know that one well. I bought Lord & Taylor in 1986 for a company, and so I lived with it for a long time, and I would have thought that location wouldn't have been one closing. I am not surprised they're closing some locations. You know, they're owned now by Hudson's Bay Corporation out of Canada. They also own Saks Fifth Avenue. They don't need, like Macy's, all the locations they have. The only thing that surprised me is that location that they picked, because Oak Brook has always been good. I'm wondering if perhaps that location was worth more dead to them than alive because somebody else wanted it. It was an easy exit, and they have other stores that can do business. But that one did kind of surprise me because I would have thought, given the strength of that center and given how well that store has always done, that that might have been one of the survivors. But we will see continued movement in downsizing both at Saks and Lord & Taylor as more and more of that business moves online as well.
Jan Rogers-Niffen, always appreciate your insights. CEO of J. Rogers-Niffen Worldwide. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday. Attractive spring destinations, airfare deals. WBBM News Time, 12:25. All the latest market news from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we are coming back from deeper losses. The Dow is still in the red, down 36 points. NASDAQ lower by 36 points, or 0.5%. S&P down 10 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by almost 0.5%. Crude oil futures are lower today, down 1% to $63.25 a barrel. For a check of the grains markets, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
At the Chicago Board of Trade, we're mostly higher across the board in the grains. March corn up 1.5 at 370. December up a quarter at 399 and a quarter. March soybeans at 1041 and a quarter, up 7. November's up 2.5 at 1033. And we have July wheat up 4 at 491 and 1.5. Higher across the board in the grains. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are slumping today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Travel Tuesday, finding affordable fares for spring vacation destinations.
A pizza chain and a leading car maker are experimenting with delivery via autonomous vehicle.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson is in Springfield lobbying for tighter gun control.
President Trump set to announce he will run for re-election in 2020.
Dow Industrials up 50 right now, the NASDAQ up 37, and S&P 500 up by 11.
Beautiful sunshine throughout your day, headed to a high near 60, right about where we are now, 58 at O'Hare. It is 60 at Midway, and 57 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
The markets are just a little lower this hour. We've been so accustomed to seeing them higher that this seems like a big deal, but it's not. The Dow Industrial is down 0.19%. Let's talk with Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading, author of the book Calculated Risk, here in Chicago. Michael, it looks as if Wall Street is watching the statements today on interest rates.
Yeah, I think that is really driving everything. Thanks a lot. Good afternoon, Chris and Cisco. Thanks for having me on. The stock market is kind of taking a breather right now. We started a little bit higher, and then now we've sold off, and it really has been interest rate driven. The all eyes right now are on the 10-year yield, I believe, and it is now at 2.92%, which is still below 3, but I think 3% is that threshold that people are a little bit concerned about. I think if we get above 3, we might trigger a little bit of a sell-off here. That's why we're down today. And if it does get a little bit worse as far as interest rates, it could cause a little bit more sell-off. But my feeling, though, long-term is that we may get above 3%, but this is not going to be a dramatic change in rates. It's not going to be a spike up to 4 or 5%, which would cause a massive sell-off in the stock market.
Is there a calculated risk move here for investors?
You know what? We talked a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to stick to my guns because I don't normally, usually my time frame for investments is 3 to 6 months, sometimes a year. And I've liked the airlines. I'm going to stick with the airlines. They've rallied 3% since the last time I talked to you guys. They're not having a great day today, but that's the market as a whole is not doing well. I like them. I think that they're going to maintain their profit margins as they've been. And a lot of people are still skeptical that they can, because in the past they haven't been able to. But I do like the sector. I think it's going to outperform, and I think that's a great spot. Another spot that would be great is if people are really willing to take some risk to pick out a few retailers that are going to be okay. Because I think that the overall consensus here is that Amazon is just taking over the world, but there are going to be some retailers that are going to do all right. And if you can pick the right ones, I think they're going to have great years this year.
What sorts of things are you looking for as you examine retailers? Are there certain data points that you're looking at, certain performance points that investors should be looking at?
Well, margins are always really important because Amazon is a margin killer, right? So they're basically crushing all the margins on these retailers. But some of them can maintain them because if you can make your retail experience something that will cause people to want to be there. You know, most retailers, it's gotten to the point where it's commoditized so that you really don't even want to go to the store anymore. You want to order it online. But there are some retailers that you still need to be there. You need to go and experience, you know, what you're buying. So those, without getting into specific names, I would just look at those types of retailers because they might be able to maintain their margins and they might be able to continue to have the foot traffic they need to drive revenue. But the ones where Amazon can easily replace them, those are the ones that are going out of business. And it's the JCPenney's, the Sears' of the world. Those are not doing well.
So do you think the recent pullback, was that it for the near term? You think we'll get back to whatever we call a normal market these days? We'll get back to more of a normal market?
You know, I like a little volatility as a trader. That's what you look for. And so this last year has been really dull for me. So this last couple of months has been kind of nice to trade. But yeah, I don't think that may come back unless interest rates rise significantly. So that is the big thing right now. Watch the 10-year. Right now it's up today, and that's why the market's down, I guarantee you. And if it goes above 3%, there's going to be some nervous people, and I think that will cause another dip in the stock market. But again, I do think that any rise above 3% will be very limited. It's not going to – we're not looking at 3 or 4% inflation rates here. I mean, it's just not happening. So there's only so high that 10-year rates can go. And then I think we're pushing close to where they're going to top out.
You mentioned Amazon taking over the world. I mean, it does look like that often. What are they going to scoop up next?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if they have a lot of targets anymore. I mean, they definitely have got tried to get into pharmaceuticals. You know, they basically are attempting to use their business model to go into every industry that it might work in. And quite honestly, being so efficient, they now deliver food. It's amazing. So what's their next target? I honestly wouldn't want to speak on that. I think they've got their hands full with all the things they're already in, and I think that they would be good. They would do well just to continue to maintain what they have and continue to better it, because the business plan is working perfectly. I mean, they are probably the most well-run organization, I think, in the world. I would put them above everybody. And Jeff Bezos is a genius. And I wouldn't want to speculate on where they're going next. I think they just have their hands full already with what they're doing.
Great stuff. Michael Palumbo, thank you. Founder of Third Millennium Trading, author of the book Calculated Risk. Ahead, it's Travel Tuesday. Cheap airfares for spring break.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour. Spring break is just about here. Let's check out some affordable destinations with the help of Ken Goldstein, president of KJG International Consulting here in Chicago. Ken, before we get into some of the deals, let's ask, is spring break ordinarily a time for deals or do costs sometimes go up just because of all the demand with everyone wanting to travel?
Well, first off, let me say thank you for having me on again. And secondly, spring break is a big travel time. And I think what's going on here is you got to remember we had some pretty heavy hurricanes, some bad weather. Place locations are building up and trying to build back traffic to there. And they're trying to expand the area for spring break. Spring break traditionally has been the Florida beaches, East and West Coast. Maybe California, but now they're trying to build up a few other things. And they're throwing in some opportunities in Europe as well, which right now has some very bad weather. But in March, hopefully it'll be better, and they're trying to fill up the airplanes.
Yeah, along those lines, very interested in New Jersey, along with what you're saying. New Jersey, not ordinarily on the list as a spring break destination, but it's one where you can get a deal.
Well, supposedly to Newark is the word they're talking of, which is an outlet to New York. But, you know, the thing is you want to build the traffic. And don't forget, there's more and more low-cost carriers that are coming in. Southwest, for example, is every Tuesday. They're trying to come up with some lower fares, $59 cross-country and things like that. There's one important thing which I think we're not looking at, and there's a very well-known app, travel company called Airbnb. And in an interview back on the 25th of February, Brian Chesky was interviewed by the London Times, and he hinted that he may pull an Amazon, meaning that he may think about starting his own airline, just like Amazon did in the travel business for moving cargo. And if that happens, this opens up a whole brand new door. Plus, there's a whole bunch of stuff that is going on in the industry where we're seeing business trying to come up and do things from the standpoint of more low-cost carriers, better airfares, people want to build up travel and things like that.
Are the good fares right now, is this the time to buy the good fare, because the spring break is next month, but have they already started?
Well, they have started, and traditionally, as we've talked in the past, Tuesday is a good day to start to look at some many of the airlines. For example, I just today got Southwest and JetBlue. And let's not forget about our good old hometown, Chicago. Chicago is not on the list, but What did the air, what's called the Art Institute, extended their Rodin exhibit right on through April 1st. So throw Chicago into the mix. You've got great weather there today. Hopefully it'll stay on through next month.
Except for the snow that we're expecting on Thursday.
I didn't mention that'll be done by March.
That's true.
Ken, nice to talk with you as always. Ken Goldstein, president at KJG International Consulting in Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, the pizza delivery vehicle of the future.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Ford is teaming with a pizza chain Domino's and delivery service Postmates to test self-driving delivery cars in Miami. We are talking to John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. John, how close are we to having our pizzas delivered by a car with not a person in it?
Chris, this is really interesting. You know, Domino's and Ford started experimenting with this idea in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now they're expanding it to Miami. And the fact that they're doing that tells me that they think this thing is maybe not ready to go nationwide, but they're definitely expanding their experimentation with this.
The story that we've been reading about it, about how they're doing it, is the last 50 feet of delivering goods is the real challenge.
Yeah, and that's what Ford really wants to figure out, you know, because it, like most other major automakers, wants to get into autonomous vehicles. But as you start to use those vehicles for delivery, like pizza, they need to learn, how do people react to it? Do they like it? Do they not like it? And if they don't like it, what aspects do they not? So as the car comes up to your house, you've got a code. There's a keypad on the outside of the car. You put that in, a little window opens up, and there's your pizza. And so in terms of billing and just how people react to it, Ford and Domino's are trying to learn what the public really wants in this. The other thing that's interesting is, even though it is an autonomous car and can drive by itself, there's actually a human being inside it, at least for right now.
Well, he's the one who gets the cold pizza that you want to send back.
Well, you know, another thing that's interesting, what they've learned, is that people who use the service like it on a number of things. You know, they think it's cool and high-tech and all that. But a very practical thing, they don't feel like they have to tip the delivery guy. So it's a little bit cheaper to have pizzas delivered this way.
I wonder how people, it may be too early to know, how they'll react to, we mentioned the last 50 feet. One of the things people like about pizza delivery is they come right to your door. This is going to require you to get the shoes on and actually go out to get the pizza.
It is. You know, unless you have a driveway or something like that where the car comes right up to your door. But you're absolutely right. You know, but geez, what a world we live in when you have to open the door and walk down a few steps to get a pizza.
And it just ruins my night. All right, so for Domino's or any pizza delivery company, if they can get the public to respond positively to this, I'd imagine it'd be a huge cost savings for them. Bad for delivery drivers, but good for Domino's.
No, you're exactly right, Cisco, and that's why they're all looking at it. You know, in some places or at certain times, it can be hard to get people that want to deliver pizzas. And as you noted, it's a major, major cost in delivery. You know, the single most expensive part of it is not the pizza, it's the person delivering it.
Is pizza the first one to get up and be delivered autonomously? What's next?
Yeah, the next thing, actually, Chris, is everything. And, you know, Ford's vision for autonomous vehicles is during the day they'll move people around, and then at night they'll be used for moving packages and goods and all that sort of thing. And, you know, this autonomous technology is not going to be cheap, at least when it first comes out. So if you can use a vehicle almost all day long, it really pays for that technology.
Fascinating how quickly this is happening. Seemed so futuristic not that long ago. John McElroy, automotive industry analyst, host of Autoline.tv, based in Detroit. Thanks for being with us. We'll have an update on the markets from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. All the latest market news from Bloomberg, sponsored by Wind Trust Community Banks. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is lower by 85 points. That's a drop of a third of a percent. We're at 25,624. NASDAQ down 44 points, or a little more than half a percent. S&P falling by 15. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down half a percent. Macy's stock is sharply higher, up more than 4%, after the retailer posted a jump in quarterly sales. And the company is also working to squeeze money from its sprawling real estate portfolio. Macy's has agreed to sell the top floors of its Chicago flagship location on State Street to a private real estate fund sponsored by Brookfield Asset Management. They're going to convert the space into offices, and Macy's will receive $30 million for the floors. Sponsored by Hiscox Small Business Insurance, with business at 25 and 55 from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.